people who read the Bible and interested in Christian things, and they ask you, is it proper to talk about being pardoned? And I said, for the Christian, absolutely. We are a pardoned people. This is the ground of our assurance that what Christ did on the cross is all sufficient. And I'm not only pardoned in the past, I'm pardoned today, and I'm pardoned tomorrow, because Jesus' blood never stops availing for me. And so we can say an absolute yes. And that's the assurance that the Christian soldier needs as we stand for the Lord. Otherwise, we'll be off balance.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I take great joy in bringing the message of the gospel to you today, wherever you may be. Now, we are dealing with the items of the Christian armor. Paul the Apostle was sitting there in the prison cell, and as he studied that soldier who was attached to him, he got a picture of what the gospel does for the believer. And he looked at the various parts of the Christian, of the Roman soldier's armor, the breastplate, the helmet, and the sword. He also looked at the feet, how the soldier's feet were protected with sandals. And he noted in this text how important it is that the Christian is not slipping and sliding and losing out in the battle of the Christian life. And of course, every Christian needs to be well equipped. And we need to do that by prayer and by the Word of God. We need to do that by fellowship with the saints. And of course, here listening into this program, I hope that you will be settled, established in the faith, and led to a strong Christian life for the Lord. So, thank you for joining with us on the program today. Thank you for being a partner with us here on Let the Bible Speak. We're coming up now to the reading of this section, Ephesians chapter 6. Stay tuned. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read today from verse 10 through to 18. And contained in these verses are the seven items of armor that the Lord commands us to put on. So let's read again these verses, Ephesians 6, commencing at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. May the Lord in grace minister to your heart today. And so there must be ability, agility, and availability. How's that for words beginning with A? Ability, availability, and agility. Have you got those three things? Are you available to the Lord?
Are you saying, Lord, choose me? Here am I, send me. And then you are agile. You're willing to turn whichever direction you may need to go, that you might be in the right place in the will of the Lord. And you know what happens when you make yourself available? The Lord looks after the ability. Because who is sufficient? Who is capable? We don't boast and brag, well, I am, I'm all equipped. But when you're available and you're ready, you're living in that spirit of readiness, the Lord will make you able, and he'll make you his instrument and his vessel to serve. So we move on to the next one, and that is reassurance. Reassurance. Now, what's different between reassurance and assurance? Well, a new Christian comes to the assurance of salvation. And that's a great thing, to be able to say, I have trusted the Lord, he has saved me. But as a Christian soldier, you've got to keep marching and say it every day. And that's reassurance. And these sandals of the gospel of peace help us to have this wonderful gift of reassurance. The sandals help you to be sure-footed. They give you grip. Remember those metal studs that are in the soles. They give traction. They keep you on your feet in the slippery places so that you don't yield your ground. And you can imagine in combat with soldiers fighting one another, there's pushing, shoving, elbowing, weapons coming at you. And if you get off your feet, you're defeated. You're down. And you're either going to need help from your comrades, get you on your feet, or you're going to get trampled into mush in the battlefield because you've lost your foot. But this gospel of peace makes us sure-footed. Now, I'm going to use the word settled because it's what the application is. The sure-footedness is the picture. The sure-footedness is the analogy that the apostle is using here. But you apply it to your heart, the meaning, the personal benefit really is to be settled. Settled. Settled in gospel experience, your testimony, that you can say, I have peace with God. And that's where Romans 5:1 comes in so wonderfully. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And if you're going to be a good witness, a good soldier for Christ, on your feet, you need to be settled that you've been converted, that you're really born again, and you have this salvation through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And soldiers need to be loyalists. Many armies have marched with the banner furled ahead, and you've got the banner carrier, the flag carrier in the front, and those soldiers follow the flag. They're loyal to that flag, to their nation, to their king, to their cause. And you need that. You need an absolute sold-out loyalty to the Lord Jesus. That you're in a battle for truth and righteousness for your king, for which you're willing to lay down your life. No looking back. No betrayal. No Judas's here. No second guessing. You are absolutely committed to being a soldier of the cross. And these things settle your soul in the truth and in the faith. And so I have to ask you, do you have an experience of the gospel? Are you really saved? Are you really born again? It's very difficult to make a soldier out of someone who doesn't know what country he belongs to, who doesn't know who his king is, who doesn't know what his loyalties, where they lie. But if you are saved, Jesus is your King. He's your Savior, your Lord, and you are committed to serving Him. And therefore, you will strive and seek to be His committed soldier all the way. Maybe you've never really been born again. Maybe the Holy Spirit doesn't live in your heart. Maybe you're completely controlled by the enemy and you're led captive by the devil and you don't belong to this army at all. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. Isn't that a fearful thing? To be on the march, heading into battle, and you don't belong to the Lord Jesus. You need to be settled in your experience, and then you'll be a sold-out soldier for the Lord. Settled also in the truth. For the soldier to be sure-footed, no doubt he's trained in the art of warfare, and he must become very sure of his ground and of his methods. In the Christian's mind, there must be the equivalent to this. We must know the gospel we espouse inside out, up and down and every direction. Do you know the gospel? What is your gospel? What do you lay hold upon as a believer, as the very essence of the gospel to your own soul? Some time ago, a man called me to ask about the propriety or whether it's proper to use the word pardon. Seems an odd question. People who read the Bible and interested in Christian things, and they ask you, is it proper to talk about being pardoned? And I said, for the Christian, absolutely. We are a pardoned people. This is the ground of our assurance that what Christ did on the cross is all sufficient. And I'm not only pardoned in the past, I'm pardoned today, and I'm pardoned tomorrow, because Jesus' blood never stops availing for me. And so we can say an absolute yes. And that's the assurance that the Christian soldier needs as we stand for the Lord. Otherwise, we'll be off balance, tossed about by every wind of doctrine. If you go to your Bible, to Ephesians 4 and verse 14, you will see how this warning is given, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so, doctrine is important. Doctrine is like boots on a Christian. It makes you sure-footed. It makes you ready and steady as you stand up for the Lord. And of course, as we seek to serve the Lord, we need to engage. We need to take on those that are preaching and teaching wrong things. We need to evangelize. We need to get this gospel message out. And to do that, we need doctrine. We need to be strong, not tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Also, we need to be settled in gospel uniqueness. We are not a very welcome people in the world today, I'm afraid. Christians are the remnant, small movement that are so narrow-minded, so opinionated, that we don't fit into the world. Well, hallelujah. That's what a Christian is. We don't fit in with the world. Christianity is unique. Let's just swallow the pill. We're different. We are not inclusivists. We're not trying to be all things to all men. We're not trying to please all religions and all ideas and all ideologies. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus, and we are settled in the uniqueness of the gospel that has saved our souls. There's no other man like Jesus. There's no other one who suffered on a Roman gibbet to pay the price of sin for all the people who will ever be saved. There is no other blood that justifies freely from all things. There is no one else that rose again from the dead on the third day, ascended to glory. And there's no one else has promised that he's coming again, and coming again to gather his people and to destroy the wicked. We have a unique message. There is no other Savior that is so gentle and loving. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. There is not one like Jesus. No, not one. This is unique. This is singular. This is special. And we live as Christians in the world with this one wonderful message. And we stand up for Jesus and we serve him. So we're settled in the uniqueness of the gospel. We're also settled, and this is my final idea on this under this heading, and that is we are settled in this gospel peace. Back to the peace again. After all, Paul called it here in verse 15 to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we are settled in gospel peace. This is our reassurance. And let me point out that these are shoes of the gospel of peace. This is our standing. Now let's go back to Romans 5 and see what the apostle made of the text, Romans 5, 1. Let's see how he went on to explain what that means in real terms in the believer's life. Romans 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, the idea of standing with gospel shoes, this preparation of the gospel of peace, wherein we stand, this is our position, and this is our stability. We stand on this ground and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And that is the strong standing position of the Christian. With peace within and peace in our whole demeanor, we witness the gospel to the world. And that's what you must enjoy, the peace of the gospel within your heart. And it's so vital, so important. And I think we hit on something that the whole church of the Lord Jesus is facing. An unsettledness, an instability, a waywardness, because we lose the very ground of peace. And that often leads to inactivity. When you lose your sure-footedness, you go nowhere. You stay put. And there are many that have fallen into the place of lethargy, no interest in serving. People get stuck in a rut and they can't be moved out of it. How do you move people into active service? Leadership is about stirring people to serve. Get them on the march. Get them in position to serve and stand for the Lord. There was a time when we need to call people out of apostasy, false churches, false doctrine. But I think we've even got to the place where we've got to get people out of their laziness, out of their unwillingness to put feet to their gospel and to get busy for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. And we need to get back to reaching the lost and reaching the world with this good news of the gospel. We can't just wait for people to walk through the doors of our church. We need to go and get them. We need to go and find them. We need to be like a soldier with these shoes on that's willing and ready to move, even in a new direction. Maybe try something that you've never done before in your life to reach a soul for Christ. Maybe go visit someone and give them your testimony. Leave them a Bible. Invite them to a church service. Bring them along. Invite them to your home for summer and then to church to follow, or vice versa. Say, come along to church and then come over to my place for, I don't know, strawberries and ice cream. That will tempt people. That will get people interested. If it's children, they certainly would. Mention ice cream and you'll get the kids. So there's ways and means and ways by which we can serve the Lord even in a new way. Literature. What about a meeting in your home? You ever thought about that? Gather in a few of your neighbors and your friends and say, we're going to have a little meeting tonight. We're going to sing a little bit. We're going to read a little bit. We're going to play a CD or listen to a sermon or get somebody to do a Bible study. That would be new. That would be making yourself agile, ready to serve the Lord. For some people, what about a children's meeting right in your home or in your garage? I'm sure you could park the car out for a while and clear it up and put a few seats in and invite a dozen kids in. Share the gospel with them. There's many ways we can serve the Lord. Put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And if the gospel is ruling and reigning in your life, you will want to share it in whatever way you can. That will be the experience of the Christian. We need to beat the devil at his own game. The devil seldom uses the same tactic twice. He's very crafty, very subtle. And we need to be willing to change our tactics sometimes to reach the lost and take this gospel to the needy. My final word, don't get lost in the details of this analogy. We've spent a lot of time talking about soldiers, marching, battlefields. Those are just the picture for the message. The application is you in your own Christian life serving the Lord, resisting the devil, advancing the kingdom of God. That's the message. That's the application. Ways to advance the kingdom of God. Ways to defeat the enemy. Ways to proclaim the good news of Christ to the world. These are things that we need to take on board and take to heart today. And the Lord wants to use you. He's given you this armor. He's providing the armor for you, that you might serve Him all the days of your life.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners grow. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. We do thank you for joining with us as we bring to you the message of the gospel. And I hope that you have been helped today by this word on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel, to stand fast and to hold on to God's truth. Andrew Bonner tells of a simple Christian in a farmhouse who had meditated the Bible through three times. This is precisely what the psalmist had done. He had shaken every tree in God's garden and gathered fruit therefrom. The idea of meditation is to get into the middle of a thing. Meditation is to mind what digestion is to the body. Unless the food be digested, the body receives no benefit from what we read or hear. There must be that mental digestion known as meditation. If we would buy the truth, we must pay the price which Paul intimated when he wrote to Timothy, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them." David meditated in God's word because he loved it, and he loved it because he meditated in it. And that's the secret to our growing in the Bible. Let it dwell in you richly. And spend quality time, not only reading, but thinking, praying over the word of the Lord, and it will do your soul good. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and it is my joy to bring you the message of the gospel today. If I can be of any personal help, I trust you will be in touch. We're coming now to our announcements, and if I can help you, make sure you send me an email or give me a phone call. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when once more we let the Bible speak.